Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mamre by Avram Goldrand. Today, Masechus Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf. The eighth parak has Shoal al Sapara. The eighth parak has been generously sponsored in Nishmas, Rav Yaakov Moshe ben Rabin Yamin Yosef Ol HaShalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Hamachliv par b'chamor b'yalda, if one exchanges a cow for a donkey, and the cow gave birth, or if one sells a shivcha, and she gave birth, Zomer Ashul Makarti, and the seller says, the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine. Zomer Mishul Hakakti, and the buyer says, the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine. Yachaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara wonders why the offspring is divided. Let us see in whose domain it is, and the other litigant will be subject to the principle that Hamotzi Mechavero of Varaya. Shmuel answers that the calf and slave are standing in places not owned by either party. The Gemara persists of Anukma Echezka's the Markama, but establishes on the status of its first owner, meaning the seller, and the buyer must prove that it changed ownership. The Gemara concludes that the Tana Simkas, who holds, Mamanu Mutabasava Chokim Bolo Shavua, money whose ownership is endowed, is divided without a Shavua. Pointing to the Mishnah state that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath. Number one, the claim and the admission are about different items. Number two, it's a case of halach. Here, it's yours, where the defendant offers the admitted item, which does not generate a shavua of motiba mixas. And number three, one never swears on claims involving slaves or land. Three answers are given. Number one, Rav explains that one claims he gave an agent money to buy a large slave or field and demands the money back, and the shliach responds he was only given money to buy a small slave or field. Number two, Shmuel says the buyer claims to have purchased a ksus, a garment for a large slave, or sheaves found in a large field, and the seller responds that he sold the garment of a small slave, meaning a smaller portion of the larger cloth, or the sheaves of a small field. And number three, Rabbi Hoshai says the buyer claims a large slave with his garment, or a large field with its sheaves, and the shvuah on the metaltim requires swearing on the slave or field through a gilgal shvuah. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, if one sold his olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belong to the owner of the trees. If they produce olives which yielded more than ravias, zeomer zeisi gidua, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives and they're mine, vzeomer artsi gidua, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yachaloku, they divide the crop since they're both instrumental in producing the crop. Similarly, if one's trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produce olives, and the owner of the trees and the owner of the land make these respective claims, they divide the crop. The Gemara explains in the first case that the seller did not specify when the buyer should remove the trees he purchased for wood, and so does not insist on receiving his share if the inferior crop yields less than a ravias per saw, but does demand his share in a more significant crop. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Hamachliv par b'chamor b'yalda. If one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth, or if one sells the shivcha and she gave birth, Zelmer Achil Makarti, and the seller says, the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine, Vizelmer Mishal Al-Kachti, and the buyer says, the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine, Yochaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara wonders why the offspring is divided. Let us see in whose domain it is, and the other litigant will be subject to the principle that Hamotzi Mechavero of Varaya. Shmuel answers the calf and slave are standing in places not owned by either party. The Gemara persists of Anukma Echezka's the Markama, but establishes on the status of its first owner, meaning the seller, and the buyer must prove that it changed ownership. The Gemara concludes that the Tana Simkas, who holds, Mamanu Mutabasava Chokim Bolo Shavua, money whose ownership is endowed, is divided without a Shavua. Pointing to the Mishnah state that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath. Number one, the claim and the admission are about different items. Number two, it's a case of halach. Here, it's yours, where the defendant offers the admitted item, which does not generate a shavua of motiba mixas. And number three, one never swears on claims involving slaves or land. Three answers are given. Number one, Rav explains that one claims he gave an agent money to buy a large slave or field and demands the money back, and the shliach responds he was only given money to buy a small slave or field. Number two, Shmuel says the buyer claims to have purchased a ksus, a garment for a large slave, or sheaves found in a large field, and the seller responds that he sold the garment of a small slave, meaning a smaller portion of the larger cloth, or the sheaves of a small field. And number three, Rabbi Hoshai says the buyer claims a large slave with his garment, or a large field with its sheaves, and the shvuah on the metaltim requires swearing on the slave or field through a gilgal shvuah. And pointing with you, the next mission states, if one sold its olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belonged to the owner of the trees. If they produce olives which yielded more than ravias, zeomer zeisi gidul, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives and they're mine, vzeomer artsi gidul, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yachaloku, they divide the crop since they're both instrumental in producing the crop. Similarly, if one's trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produce olives, and the owner of the trees and the owner of the land make these respective claims, they divide the crop. The Gemara explains in the first case that the seller did not specify when the buyer should remove the trees he purchased for wood, and so does not insist on receiving his share if the inferior crop yields less than a ravias per saw, but does demand his share in a more significant crop. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf, and our standard Siman is a kof, a monkey. A monkey. So here goes. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree, which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil. Once again, it's a motion. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey, that must run duff, kuf, kof, monkey. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, which reminds us, the next mission states, if one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth, or if one sells a shivcha and she gave birth, and the seller says the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine, and the buyer says the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine, yalchaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara concludes the Tana Sumkas who holds, mamana mutu basafik chokim below shavua. Money whose ownership is in doubt is divided without a shavua. So, when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath and provides three answers. So when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one sold his olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belonged to the owner of the trees. If they produced olives which yielded more than ravias, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives, and they're mine, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yalchaloku, they divide the crop since they were both instrumental in producing the crop. So once again, when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and a large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Tzadivav. So the Siman Daf Tzadivav is a town crier, someone who calls out the king's commandment. So here goes. The town crier, that must be one Daf Tzadivav, sub, one who proclaims the king's commandments. The town crier who borrowed a friend's prize-winning cow to appear wealthy in order to get a loan to buy an expensive trumpet, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asks a series of questions, which Rashi explains to be about a borrower's liability. The second one being, if one borrowed a cow to appear wealthy through it, meaning so people extend him credit, is he liable as a shoah? Do we say, Mamona Be'ina, we merely require borrowing something of value, which is satisfied here, or must he also benefit from the borrowed item, but here he doesn't benefit from using the animal itself? So the town crier who borrowed a friend's prize-winning cow to appear wealthy in order to get a loan to buy an expensive trumpet was embarrassed when the owner of the cow approached him and said, go and be borrowed for me together with my cow, which reminds us, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, if one says, go and be borrowed for me together with my cow, meaning he instructed him to service the borrower of his cow on his behalf, does this qualify for the exemption of Baal of Imo? Do we require Baal of Mamish, the literal owner, which the Shaliach is not, or do we apply the principle of Shulchu Shaladim Kamoso, a person's Shaliach is legally like himself? So the town crier who borrowed a friend's prize-winning cow to appear wealthy in order to get a loan to buy an expensive trumpet was embarrassed when the owner of the cow approached him and said, go and be borrowed for me, together with my cow, to the man who was exempt when the cow he had previously borrowed died during his work. Which reminds us, the question was asked, if a borrowed animal is weakened because of work performed for the borrower, what's the halacha? Is the borrower liable, like for any mishap? Rav Chilkiah b'Rei Rav Aviah responded that the question implied that if the animal died from working for the borrower would be liable. To this, he objected that the borrower can say, I didn't borrow it to keep it in an enclosure, but to use it. Rav agreed and ruled that not only were the animal was weakened from work, but even Mesa Machmas Malach, if it died because of work performed for the borrower, he's pater. Dav Tzadi Zayin, so the similar Dav Tzadi Zayin is chess. So here goes. The chess player, that must be one Dav Tzadi Zayin, chess. The chess player who lost the game when his borrowed cat piece was killed by his opponent's many mice pieces, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once borrowed a cat to eliminate mice. However, the mice banded together and killed the cat. Rav Ashi asks, Ki Mesa Machmas Malachi Dami Olo, is it like an animal which died because of its work or not? Tosos explains that perhaps you should not have placed the cat among such a large group of mice. So the chess player who lost the game on his borrowed cat piece was killed by his opponent's many mice pieces, and then his half-borrowed, half-rented cat piece died on the time it was borrowed space, which reminds us, the next mission discusses one who borrowed a cow for half the day and rented it for the other half, or borrowed it for one day and rented it for the next day, or rented one cow and borrowed another, and the cow died. The owner says in the respective cases, the borrowed cow died in the final case, or it died on the day it was borrowed in the middle case, or it died while it was borrowed in the first case, claiming the borrower or the renter should be liable. And he responds, "Ini yodea, I do not know, he's chayef to pay." So the chess player who lost the game when his borrowed cat piece was killed by his opponent's many mice pieces, and then his half-borrowed, half-rented cat piece died on the time it was borrowed space, was told by his opponent, who was Bari, Yom Yamana, and he responded, Shema, I do not know, which reminds us, the Mishnah's first ruling requires the defendant to pay when the owner claims the cow died while borrowed, and the defendant says he doesn't know. This apparently proves that if one says to another, Manu biyadcha, you owe me a mana, Mahomer in Yadea, and the other says, I do not know, Chayim, he's liable to pay. Now, this case is a Machlokas Amoraim, where Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say the defendant is chayv since the claimant is certain, Bari, and the defendant is uncertain, Shema, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say he's pater because the uncertainty defense is not sufficient proof to require payment.
Dav Tzadiches. So the simon Dav Tzadiches relates to tzchok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown, that must be more Dav Tzadiches, tzchok. The clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died but wasn't sure about the other dead one, which reminds us, in the final case in the mission, the owner claims he gave two cows as a loan and one as a rental, and both borrowed cows died. The defendant admits that one borrowed cow died but is uncertain which of the other two died. In all the cases, the defendant must swear, and since he cannot, he must pay. So the clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died, but wasn't sure about the other dead one, while his partner who rented a cow after borrowing it with the owner servicing him tried to claim balavimo still applies, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba Bar Mama asked, Sha'ala Babalim, if one borrowed an animal with the owner servicing him, and then rented it from him without the owner servicing him, when the rental began, does the balavimo exemption apply during the rental period? Do we consider the two periods of Shemira as separate transactions, and he would thus be liable for Gneva Vaveda for the rental? Or do we say rental is connected to borrowing since the liabilities of the rental, Gneva Vaveda, were already present at the time of the loan? Thus, we may view the rental as a continuation of the original loan transaction, which was made with Balavimo. So the clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died, but wasn't sure about the other dead one, while his partner who rented a cow after borrowing it with the owner servicing him had tried to claim Balavimo still applies, concluded the show right after a clown dressed as an owner's shaliach announced the borrowed cow he was delivering had died in transit, which reminds us, the next mission states that if someone was borrowing a cow, and the owner sent it to him with his son, a slave, or a shaliach, or with the borrower's son, slave, or shaliach, the borrower is pater until he receives it. Dav Tzadi Tes, so the simon Dav Tzadi Tes is a cheetah. So here goes. The cheetah, that must be one Dav Tzadi Tes. The cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the owner sent a cow with his own slave at the borrower's request, the borrower is immediately liable. Rav says the Mishnah can refer to an Evakanani, but the case is, as the Gemara concludes, where the borrower said, strike it with a stick and will come to me. Rav ruled about such a case, as soon as it left the lender's domain and died, the borrower is liable. So the cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas if a borrower acquires the item with usage or mashicha, such as in the case of one who borrowed a hatchet and the owner wants to retract. So the cheetah owner's Eved Kanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who had lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, knows the cheetah had its eyes on a thief who stole a cake of pressed dates, which contained 50 dates, and was selling it for 49 prutos. Which reminds us, Shmuel said that if one stole a cake of pressed dates, which contains 50 dates, which are sold together for 49 prutos, but can be sold individually for a pruta each, totaling 50, then if the cake belonged to an ordinary person, he pays 49. But if it belonged to Agdash, he pays 50 plus the additional surcharge of a fifth. The Gemara explains that although the private owner can claim he would have sold the dates individually, so his loss is 50 prutos, our Mishnah teaches that damages of crops are assessed not based on their own value, but in the broader context of the field's selling value. Thus, damages to a private individual, as well as theft, which is a form of damage, are assessed leniently. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss sending one's cow with one's Eved Kanani, and the borrower says to strike the cow and it'll come to me? That's on duff. Study test. Good. Number two, which stuff to discuss when a shoal becomes liable when the cow dies in transit? That's on duff. Study chess. Good. Number three, which stuff to learn that a shomer can stipulate to reduce his liability? That's on duff. Study dog. Good. Number four, which stuff to discuss the difference between paying for stolen hektish and chulin regarding a cake of pressed dates? That's on duff. Study test. Good. Number five, which stuff to discuss the case if one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth and then the parties dispute when it gave birth? That's on duff. Kuf. Good. Number six, which stuff do we have machokas if a borrower acquires an item such as a hatchet with usage or mashicha? That's on duff. Study test. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you discuss what the halacha is where there's a dispute if a cow died during its loan period or its rental period? That's on duff. Study Zion. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you discuss if one sold his olive trees for their wood and the buyer did not remove them immediately and then they produced olives? Who gets the oil? That's on duff. Kuf. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you discuss where one borrowed a cow with the owner servicing him and then rented the cow without the owner servicing him? That's on duff. Tzadiches. Good. Number 10, which stuff do you discuss swearing in a dispute over which of two slaves was sold? That's on duff. Kuf. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.